call the Thursday, June 23rd Plan Commission meeting to order. Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Commissioner Hogan.
Here.
Commissioner Haley.
Here.
Assistant City Engineer Romice.
Here.
Nope.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Commissioner Fowler.
Excused. We have a quorum. Please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In your packet, item B, approval of the regular meeting of June 9th. Any additions or corrections?
I move approval.
Second.
Yeah, in regard to all matters this evening, Chair will vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, motion carries. Move on to C, public hearings. There's two public hearings tonight, ladies and gentlemen, two different issues. The way it works is we'll have a introduction by the planning manager of what the issue is. Notice will be read by Senior Planner Fuchs, and then we'll open the floor for questions each issue separately. Sorry, separate deals. The commission may take action tonight on either or both issues. So I mean that the first item is a unified development ordinance text amendment relating to religious organization uses. Mr. Deedle.
Thank you. The applicant is asking to allow churches to be a permitted use in the city's B3 business zoning district. The B3 zoning district is scattered through a number of locations in the city, a dozen or 15 or so. And then if this was approved by the Common Council, this text amendment to the zoning ordinance, then the applicant, as is requesting that these churches be a permitted use, the applicant would then move in. They're looking at the Orchard View Shopping Center, which is one of the properties zoned B3. But the primary purpose of this is to allow churches as a permitted use within the city's B3 zoning districts, which exist in a dozen different locations within the city.
Can you go back to the zoning map?
Sure.
So if this text amendment gets approved, for those in the audience, up here is that's the Garden View.
Garden View.
Civic Center, which is also includes where Myers was proposed, Hodash's, Walgreens, parcel to the west. The area along Ryan Road at 76th Street is currently vacant. A couple of smaller parcels along Ryan Road. The entire area near 76th and Rawson. This is the 51st and Rawson. This is Sendix's over here. So this would be Quick Trip and the parcels along 51st Street. Mr. Deedle.
And I would like to clarify, not just churches, it's religious organizations. Using our SIC codes, a number of different but similar uses are lumped together, and so this SIC code, which includes all religious-related organizations, would be a permitted use in any of those zoning districts, not just the church.
What uses are typically in B3?
So it's typically would be churches, but it can also include any other type of religious instruction.
What uses are permitted in B3?
Oh, the intent of the B3, as mentioned in the staff report, is retail business. Each of our zoning districts in the city, every single zoning district in the city has an intent, a plan of what it's trying to achieve. And for the B3, it's retail and business. Since we're on this topic, I can mention it's in the staff report as well. There are 5 zoning districts where churches and religious organizations are permitted use already. Each of those zoning districts are intended for something that obviously and in some cases specifically identifies churches as one of the things they're trying to accomplish. So the one that's the clearest is the Civic Center District. The city has a Civic Center Zoning District plan for that entire area, but currently only on the map for the Shops of Wyndham Village. That specifically mentions the intent of mixed uses, including religious organizations. Some of the other zoning districts that it's allowed in, one is a mixed use, and then the others are office, but indicates but other uses similar to and consistent with office would be compatible uses and acceptable uses. None of the retail, none of the pure business zoning districts allow a church. And B3 is just one. There's three business-oriented, retail-oriented zoning districts in the city, B1, B2, B3. Churches are not allowed in any one of those. But they are allowed in five other zoning districts as permitted uses.
Mr. Fuchs, you have a meeting notice, hearing notice.
Notice hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, June 23rd, 2016 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Root River Church, Inc. for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 8661, Religious Organizations, to allow for such use as a permitted use in the B3 Community Business District.
It appears we have a properly noticed meeting hearing. With that, I will open the public hearing portion. Any citizen wishing to speak, please come forward. Speak into the microphone. Give us your name and address for the record, and then tell us what you'd like to tell us. Anyone? You know how to do this.
Bruce Kinievsky, 77. My personality. 7719 West Coventry Drive. Oops, sorry. Let's turn this off.
It appears it's that microphone.
It's on. It's on. Yeah. Okay. Turn it off. Okay.
There you go.
Again, Bruce Kinievsky, 7719 West Coventry Drive. I'm here to speak in support of Joel's and staff's recommendation. I totally agree with what they said to recommend denial of this proposal. The placement of religious institutions in business zoning districts does not make any sense in any zoning book, any administration book that I've ever read or been aware of or any community I've worked in. As Joel said, I know there's many other locations and zoning districts in the city. I almost said village because I work in a lot of villages. city that there's opportunities to put religious institutions, and which I'm in favor of. I'm not against religious institutions. But just if we allow, as a city, religious institutions in business zoning districts, I think it'll just make it that much harder to attract quality businesses and retain quality businesses in the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Pastor, good evening.
Hello, Mayor, Council. My name is Matt Topasinski, 8750 West Hawthorne Court, Franklin. I don't see why there's any reason to not approve them from a religious organization to be able to vacate these buildings. There are so many vacancies right now available that we're turning away people that want to run a business in Franklin. And it's not on a landfill. So I think it's good use. It'll attract more people and maybe attract more business at the same time.
Thank you, Matt. Anyone else wishing to speak? Don't be bashful.
Hi, I'm Scott Harms, 8755 West Meadow Lane.
You're in favor, right?
I am, yes, yes. It's pretty insightful. Yes, I am. I'm the pastor of Root River Church, and I have a few things that I'd like to share with you. Am I able to do that from here? Do I have a couple minutes to do that?
Go for it.
Okay. I was noticing the staff's objections. Mr. Dietl mentioned a few of those now, and Mr. Fuchs has been so kind to meet with me, several times over the last months. I appreciate his help. He's been very insightful in helping me navigate my way through the system. But as we've been talking, he had mentioned a few of the same objections that Mr. Deedle had mentioned. And so as I was reviewing those, I was noticing that, in fact, one of them that Mr. Deedle just had mentioned just now is that the SIC 8661, which is religious organizations, is already allowed within five zoning areas, excuse me, in the city. It was also mentioned that the proposed use would not be complementary to the B3 district intent, that religious organizations would generate little traffic, that there's little synergy between religious organizations and other retail uses. The proposed use would not help attract additional retailers, and the amendment would allow religious organizations as permitted in all B3 districts. Seventh, they had noted that it would allow a religious organization to occupy tenant space or land that's intended for commercial use. And they also had mentioned in the packet that we received from the planner's office that one of the issues is that religious organizations may be tax exempt. Now, in discussing the table with Mr. Fuchs last week and reviewing the table, I learned that my understanding, at least, is that the businesses which most closely match the B3 commercial business intent, and I'm assuming that you can help me out with this, are those that are currently marked as permitted uses. So we're looking for those that currently have the P on the zoning table, because my understanding was that, with the exception of what Mr. Fuchs called a few outliers, those are the ones that seem to be best grouped together in order to create the synergy that would be complementary to the B3 business district intent. Now, as I was reviewing that, I had noticed on the zoning table that there was a special use available for movie theaters, which is SIC 7832, also for child care centers 8351. And both of those, obviously, are zoned as special uses. Now, in addition to those special uses and the typical uses that one might expect from a B3 business zoning, such as clothing retailers, shoe stores, things like that, I noticed a little further on the table, if you would, and I believe that there's a copy of that in your packet there, on the last page of at least the portion that I submitted, you'll notice under SIC 86... that there are several other permitted uses that I think that we need to discuss, because I believe that it does demonstrate the synergy that we're looking for in the commercial zoning. For example, I noticed that a permitted use would be SIC code 8661, which is business and professional associations. Organizations like the Chamber of Commerce would be permitted under that SIC code. Further, I noticed that SIC 8631, labor organizations, are a permitted use. The AFL-CIO and all local labor unions would be permitted uses under that SIC code. 8651, political organizations, which include political action committees known as PACs, designed to raise funds and promote specific political ideologies, and organizations to promote political parties or candidates, such as the Republican Party of Wisconsin, which my understanding at one point actually did occupy space in that very building. And then further, SIC 8641, which is a really interesting one, this is civic and social organizations, and it includes fraternal associations. Now, some of the things that would be permitted in that space then, based on these SIC codes, would be the ones I already mentioned, plus the ACLU, the Boy Scouts of America, the Rotary Club, the JCs, the Lions Club, the Knights of Columbus, the Moose Lodge, and Freemasons. All would be permitted under this SIC code, and my understanding is that those that are permitted, as we have just stated, are the ones that we believe create the synergy we're looking for in the B3 business district. With that being said, I was noticing that the only one out of that entire 86 category that was excluded from the business B3 zoning was religious organizations. Now, clearly, As I looked at the SIC, or Standard Industrial Classification Manual, I noted that that clearly they must feel that there is a synergy that is created between political organizations, religious organizations, social organizations, etc., or they wouldn't have placed them under the same SIC heading, which tells us that they are synergistic one to another. That being said, it seems to me that if the planning table or the zoning table believes that membership organizations such as the Rotary Club, the Moose Lodge, the Freemasons, and all of these others that are to be found under the Business and Professional Associations heading, labor organizations, political organizations, and civil and social organizations would also include religious organizations, which unfortunately in this case has been excluded. Now that being said, I would like to just have one more second, if I could, to address further the objections that were noted by the planning staff. Planning staff had noted that religious associations are permitted in five other zoning districts which currently have vacancies. This is true, but a review of that same table revealed to me that each of the associations that I mentioned above just moments ago actually are permitted in a minimum of seven other districts, and each of those also include the B3 for the 8th district. So each of those permitted in eight different zoning districts. Planning staff also had noted that Root River Church is not complementary to the district, to the B3 commercial district, while by virtue of the very fact that these other organizations are permitted usage, it declares that business and professional organizations, labor associations, political associations, and fraternal clubs are synergistic with that use. I believe that it's obvious that Root River Church would likely generate at least as much traffic as these types of organizations, which are preferred and permitted in the B3 commercial zoning. The amendment, another objection was that the amendment would allow religious organizations as a permitted use in all B3 zone districts. This also is true, and I believe this is probably a good thing for the city of Franklin because all of those other organizations are already permitted in each of those B3 zoned districts. So essentially what we would be doing is we'd be putting religious organizations on equal terms with all of the other organizations listed under that same SIC heading. It was also noted that it would allow a religious organization to occupy the same tenant space or land which currently allows other membership organizations to be occupied there, such as the ones that I had mentioned under the 86 heading. That being said, the other objection that they noted was that Root River Church may be tax exempt, and I assure you it is tax exempt, just as all of the other organizations that I just mentioned are tax exempt under either a 501c3 or 501c4. So each of those are tax exempt, once again putting Root River Church on equal footing with each of those. But my greater point here is that I want to make sure that as we make our decision this evening and as it follows into next week with the Common Council, that we do understand and we do have all of the proper facts before we make our decision. We want to make sure that we're making informed decisions. So in interest of making sure that we have that available to us, I want to just remind everyone of a law called the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act of 2000. This is a law that was signed into law by Congress in 2000, and Section 2, Subsection B, Paragraph 1, under equal terms states the following: no government shall impose or implement a land use regulation in a manner that treats religious assemblies or institutions on less than equal terms with a non-religious assembly or institution. This is law. Regarding the equal terms provision, the Department of Justice issued a statement on the Religious Land Use Act that says this: this section extends to ordinances that on their face treat religious assemblies or institutions on less than equal terms, as well as ordinances that, although facially neutral, are applied in a manner that treats religious assemblies or institutions on less than equal terms than non-religious assemblies or institutions. It goes on to say, Congress enacted this provision to address the problem of zoning codes excluding places of worship where secular assemblies are permitted. The legislative history, it says, points to the problem of houses of worship being excluded where theaters, meeting halls, private clubs, and other secular assembly places are permitted. Courts have found equal terms section violated in situations where places of worship are forbidden, but private clubs were permitted, where religious assemblies were forbidden, but auditoriums, assembly halls, community centers, senior citizen centers, civic clubs, daycare centers, and other assemblies were permitted, and where places of worship were forbidden, but community centers, fraternal associations, and political clubs were permitted. So in September of 2010, on a 10-year anniversary of this law, the Department of Justice issued a report which highlighted several uses and violations of the religious land use law. And I'll just quickly mention those to you, and then I will take my seat. The first being United States versus the City of Waukegan, Illinois. The United States brought suit against the City of Waukegan, Illinois in 2008 over its exclusion of places of worship in districts that permitted clubs, lodges, meeting halls, and theaters, and its imposition of notices of violation to several small churches operating in these districts. The Midrash Sephardi versus the Town of Surfside. Two Orthodox Jewish congregations were barred from meeting in a space that they had rented above a bank in a Florida city's commercial district. The city's zoning permitted private clubs, lodge halls, dance studios, music studios, and language schools in the district, but it excluded houses of worship. The department filed an amicus brief in the U.S. Court of Appeals and a brief as intervener defending the constitutionality of the law. Also, in Section 2, Subsection A, Paragraph 1 of this same law, it is stated that substantial burdens, under the heading of substantial burdens, it says, no government shall impose or implement a land use regulation in a manner that imposes a substantial burden on the religious exercise of a person, including a religious assembly or institution, unless the government demonstrates that the imposition of the burden on that person, assembly, or institution is in the furtherance of a compelling governmental interest. And it goes on to define in the statement by the Department of Justice, it defines it as this: a government cannot impose a substantial burden on a religious exercise unless it has a compelling government interest for doing so that is pursued through means that are the least restrictive of religious freedom possible. Compelling interest, it says, is a legal term meaning interest of the highest order. Government interests that are merely reasonable or even significantly important are insufficient. Courts have ruled that municipal interests in revenue generation, economic development, or eliminating congestion are not compelling. The burden of proving that an interest is compelling lies squarely on the local government. Examples of interests that may be compelling are those relating to preserving public health and safety. So by these standards, by what we've just heard now, what we've just learned, I do believe that while the staff's objections may be reasonably important or even significantly important, if we would go that far, they would likely not be viewed by the government as compelling interests or interests of the highest order, and therefore they would not be sufficient ground to disallow the reclassification of SIC 8661 as a permitted use in B3 commercial districts, thereby putting it on equal footing with all other civic organizations. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Anyone else wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone else? Okay. Seeing no one else rising, I will close the public hearing for this matter. Questions from the commission? Alderman Dandridge.
Pastor, could you tell us a little bit about your church? How long has it been in existence? Number of members, number of tithing members? Because you gave us projections that you said by the end of 2016 you're projected to be at 125 members, and by the end of 2017 you'll be in over 200. So based on the amount of square footage, I'd like to know where you currently are with your membership and how you're going to achieve those numbers.
We are a church plant or a startup church. So at this point, we are not holding public services. Our official launch date is scheduled to be September 11th of this year. So at this point, we have a core group roughly of 50 people, including children, that currently meets every other Friday just in home gatherings. To this point, we do not have, as I said, public services, so we don't have, at this point, registered adherents. We're still developing those, and that should be ready for publication on September 11th.
So in your argument, you stated that there's an imposition. Is it an imposition if we've got five other zoning districts that allow churches, and currently we do not allow it in B3? So I'm trying to understand the burden of proof. When we're already allowing it in five different zoning districts, and this one is not allowing it, so it's inconvenient for your request. So where's the burden of proof?
As the law says, the burden of proof would lie squarely on the city to prove that it would be a inconvenience to the city for us to be there. Now, that being said, I will confess to you that, yes, for me it is rather an issue of inconvenience rather than anything else. That being said, the law does indicate to us that if we are going to permit these other social groups, that we can't exclude religious groups. So my question would be, why then, if you're going to allow all the other associations to be present in the B3 commercial zoning, why are we excluding religious associations? What is it that we prefer about political organizations? What is it we prefer about the Moose Lodge to church meetings and religious associations? Why the exclusion? I'm sorry, if I may answer a question with a question.
Sure. You know, I'm not an attorney, and that's definitely questions to be addressed legally. But in reality, Rotary Clubs, Lions Clubs, Moose Lodges, they usually locate inside of restaurants and other businesses to conduct their meetings on a weekly or semi-monthly purpose. So even though they're allowed in this district, the reality is we probably will not see them in this district.
That may or may not be true. I guess I would know. I know that we have seen, or at least there is the potential of seeing, political organizations meet, which I don't know how we would address that.
Well, I agree. But dissecting each particular group, political groups on a seasonal basis may locate there, and usually it's on a presidential basis that they may rent space for a limited period of time, and then once they're done, they're out. So yeah, we can dissect each particular organization, and I'm trying to understand the benefit, see your benefit in regards to having a religious organization located, or a church organization located in this retail establishment.
But I believe there are several benefits, but once again, I think that the issue that the law is addressing is not the benefit to the church, but the reason that the benefit to the city in excluding it. It's the burden of proof and why I should be there is not really the issue. The issue is why would the city disallow it? Now, I will answer your question because I believe it's a fair question. There are several benefits to Root River Church taking residence or taking lease in that location. As we began to investigate where would be the best location for our church within the community, there were several things that played into our decision to do that. I'm not sure what value you will place on some of our methods of selection, such as fasting and prayer, but a great deal of our selection was done through fasting and prayer and seeking the counsel of godly men for where they thought a good location would be. Now, for whatever that's worth to you, that was one of our reasons. The other reason is that as we began to consider the process of being what we would call a mobile church or a portable church, where you may be required, if you were to rent, for example, a gym from a high school or something like that, you would be required to set up, tear down, haul all your stuff out, you know, four times a month as you know, you intend to have services. We found that the cost of doing that was actually about the same as being able to rent this space, which is only 7,500 square feet, tucked away in a quarter out of the way of the rest of the shopping center, which has been vacant for 5 years. So that being said, we felt that it would be to our advantage to be able to rent this space where we wouldn't have to be constantly setting up and tearing down, and we would occupy space that is otherwise, you know, empty and not being taken care of for the last 5 years.
Well, you are aware that the city is looking at this area as one of our developmental zones that we're looking at possibly redeveloping and putting into a TIF, correct?
I am aware. Yes, I am aware. And I think the upside of that is the fact that we're probably that we're seeking a three-year lease agreement. We're not necessarily planning to be there for the rest of our lives. Given that it is only 7,500 square feet, I don't see that it's going to sustain us for more than about 3 years as a startup church. For right now, as a startup, it'd be ideal. 3 years down the road, if we as we grow at the rate that we're projecting, I don't think it'll house us anymore. And at that point, it's no longer an issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Pastor, I have to admit, I'm kind of taken aback by your approach this evening. We had a relatively pleasant conversation on the phone a month or so back, and at that time I outlined the issues that I saw with any church, any non-full-time business being located in that particular area. Kind of surprised that we get a legal lecture tonight, especially in the fact that you're asking us to go against some of the beliefs that we have in terms of the development for this area. I got to admit, I'm a little taken aback to that. What you and I discussed was very simple. Your church operates on Sunday mornings, maybe Wednesday nights. How does that help attract customers the rest of the business day to that shopping center, which, by all measures, could use some full-time assistance? Never got a good answer for that, and I'm here to tell you, folks, it's got nothing to do with religion and everything to do with the amount of people going through there during the business day, period. Period. Do I need to say that any clearer, Pastor? Do I need to say it any clearer?
Well, I think I understand. Thank you.
Okay. I appreciate you saying that because you came with the law. I'm giving you the reasons. Anyone else from the commission? Commissioner Haley.
I fully support all the things that you can do for the, you know, your letters are very compelling. The services you can bring to your members and the community, that's great. I have to support staff on this. This is the wrong location for it. They laid out many reasons in their report. I think they're valid. Probably one of the most substantive is what you're asking us to do is for a temporary use, potentially 2 or 3 years, is to change our zoning code so that it impacts other parcels. This isn't specific to this site. So you're asking us to make a blanket change to all these parcels in dark that change our rules broadband with no proposals to utilize them for anything. So just from the sense, and I think this is maybe where Bruce was coming from a planning perspective, from an orderly, there are things, there is a process for special exceptions and all of this, but I would be very reluctant to support blanket changing, rezoning 12 properties for one temporary use, religion aside.
By the way, just so it's clear, as an alderman, I supported rezonings for several churches. One of them I supported twice in two different locations. Many of them ended up in my aldermanic district in areas that I believe and the neighbors believe was appropriate for their use. They embrace them. They love them. It's a wonderful relationship. Many of these started out in theaters. So, you know, Commissioner Hogan?
I think that the proposal from the staff is good. I understand where you're coming from also. You said that you have 50 members right at this point?
Not members, but yes, 50 adherents that are with us at this point. We haven't established a membership role.
Okay.
Because we're not officially launched. We are officially recognized by the Assemblies of God as a church, but we don't have anyone on our rolls until we get a little closer to our launch date, typically 30 days prior to that.
And you're giving that date as September 11th, correct?
September 11th, that's correct.
So you're stating to us by September 11th, you will have 50 members for your church?
Yes, we have 50 adherents now. Not all of them will be probably...
By the end of 2016, you said 125?
Yes.
And you can hold to that?
I don't think that I could... I would promise you that that's going to happen. I mean, that would be kind of a tough thing, but that's what I'm projecting. That's what we expect.
That's what
based
your projections
on,
are. And then in 2017, you're saying 200 members
by the end of the year. That's
you're
correct.
You're projecting this.
That's correct.
And if all these projections do not happen, and we have somebody come in with a business that would want this area, we wouldn't have this area for that person. And then you wouldn't be there to have your membership. I would have to go with staff recommendation for the denial. I understand. I mean, this presentation was fine. I'm not against churches at all either, but I don't believe this is the proper spot for it either.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. City Attorney.
Not get a chance to see the staff report until received the agenda packet. Since Tuesday, I haven't had a chance to revisit Ray Lupa. Former longtime city planner Bruce S. Konieski recalls when Ray Lupa was adopted and that we reviewed it in great detail. I also have a recollection of the Seventh Circuit United States Court of Appeals not applying Ray Lupa, as many people argued, but in a much more less detailed letter by letter, word by word, punctuation mark by punctuation mark, strict application. But it's been at least a decade or more since any Ray Lupa question came up. Regardless of whether or not there's planned commission action, I think that the subject matter has to be revisited. That will not get done in time for a common council agenda, which is going out tomorrow for Tuesday's meeting. So my thought would be put this over to the next meeting, and we will revisit the Ray Lupa subject matter in detail to this particular application and the facts of record here, and provide an opinion to the Plan Commission at the next meeting, which I believe is July 7th.
I believe so.
Motion to table or a motion to action?
A motion to table.
To July 7th.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Discussion of motion. All those in favor to table until July 7th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. My ear voted aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to the next public hearing, which happens to be Feckaway Pines Condominium Development, a special use application by Wayne Foster. Is Wayne here? Excellent. For 2-unit condominium buildings within Tuckaway Pines development. Mr. Deedle.
Thank you. It's a special use because this property is zoned R8, multifamily residential. Every use within the R8 is a special use. They're changing, in this instance, the number of units, the ultimate density of this development, and some architectural changes as well. In addition, there'll be some additional small site plan changes. Changing the size of the buildings will change the orientation of utility connections and driveway connections and so forth. So as that use for those changes, this is a special use. Staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions I can note, and we can go into more detail after the public hearing. The applicant agrees with many, but not all of those recommendations from staff. Generally speaking, the development out there is primarily four-unit condominium buildings. They have them threes. They have 1-6. And they're proposing to change the remaining buildings into two-unit buildings and not build one building at all. And actually, the six-unit building would be closest to 76th Street. That actually becomes two separate two-unit buildings. So ultimately, it's a less number of units, less density. Staff has no objection to that. We do suggest that one building, building number five, the farthest vacant space to the east, remain a three or four to be consistent with the two adjacent ones, but it's only a suggestion. And as typical, any recommendations of staff are included in the resolution. Suggestions are not. But bottom line, staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions.
Mr. Fuchs, you have a hearing notice.
Notice hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, June 23rd, 2016 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. To hear public comment regarding application by Butler Creek Properties, LLC, for an amendment to its previously granted special use permit for a 44-unit residential community use located at West Tuckaway Pine Circle in R8 Multiple Family Residence District. The pending application requests approval for construction of 6 2-unit buildings within the Tuckaway Pines condominium development. Initial special use approval was granted for 44 units, with 23 units having been constructed. Applicant is proposing construction of 12 additional units for a total of 35 units, a reduction of 9 units.
Here's, we have a properly noticed public hearing. I said that right for a change. But before we do that, do you have the proposed layout? Okay, so what we're talking about is a new building here and here, 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 and here, and nothing here. This would be a two-unit building next to six, between a six.
Four and three.
Four and four.
Four and four.
You guys ought to know. Four and four. Just so the commission understands what we're looking at. I will say that I personally believe this is, if not the best condo complex in the city, it's top couple. Been in the units, been visited some of you throughout the years. Was your alderman for, 9 months? Was pleased to be that. I think this is a wonderful development. And frankly, overall, I'm pleased to see a proposal here to finish it off. It's a good thing. I think it's a good thing for you folks, too. I do recognize some issues. I had some conversation with some of you. I'll wait. Give my opinion on that. So, we do have a properly noticed public hearing. I will open a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this matter, please come forward. Give us your name and address, and speak your piece.
You?
You can come later. Why don't you come afterwards? What? I really don't. Anyone wishing to speak? Somebody.
My name is Richard Babinski. I live at 7533 West Duckway Pine Circle in the development. I'm on the board, but I'm not speaking for the board. I'm speaking for my wife and myself. We agree that it's a wonderful thing to have our subdivision completed. However, my choice would be to have a three-unit put between the two floors. Actually, there was a four-unit originally projected for that when Icon developed it, and I feel that a two-unit to me is not suitable for application.
very much. Anyone else? He jumped up in front of you.
That's okay. Terry Weber, 7521 West Tuckaway Pine Circle. I feel the same way that the other gentleman. The building proposed between the two four families was originally a four-family proposed development from Icon in the first place. To reduce it to three units is one reduction. To reduce it one more time to a two-family would, in my opinion, just not aesthetically look correct between those two four families, allowing quite a bit of space between those two buildings. Say originally it was proposed for a four-family. There's plenty of real estate there to occupy a four-family. So a three-family would be the minimum that I would be in favor of. Thank you.
Anyone else? Come on, we don't bite.
My name is Jeff Hohensee. I'm at 7525 West Tuckaway Pine Circle. And I'm quite happy to have the developer here and to finish our condominium. I've been involved living there about 10 years. And my concern is that I want to protect the investment of all the owners that are there now, okay? I just don't want to have something be developed and then to look back at it as a deterrent to our capital investment. Okay, so when I look at the plan that's up there now, everything sets good with me except the two unit between the two big buildings. To me, it looks like a mistake. I have an engineering background, architectural engineering, etc. And I look at that, it just doesn't fit, doesn't feel right. And I understand from previous conversations that this isn't a showstopper to anyone, one individual maybe, but to the developer, that would be okay to have a satisfy roughly 99% of the owners to have happen, okay? So I had one other point, but I forget it. So I'll end it there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's not like you're not in front of friends. I mean, it's your old neighborhood.
What better way to get to know my neighbors?
Good evening. My name's Jason Brzezicki. I live at 7565 West Tuckaway. Relatively new resident, but live closer to the 76 side of the subdivision. I know I've had some conversations as well with some of my neighbors. I agree from an aesthetic purpose look, a two-unit wouldn't really fill in the space correctly, and that is probably the prime lot in the subdivision when you talk about view of the golf course, being tucked away in the back of the subdivision, so finding a tenant for that unit shouldn't be a problem at all. I would think it would be good for the developer. It would be good for us to bring in additional residents to have more revenue in the association. So I think we should make full use of that lot and make it a three-unit minimally. So,
thank you very much.